Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. We all forget things, but sometimes it becomes a big issue. And when do you seek help? And are you that different than everyone else in your age group? We'll try and get some of those questions answered. Dr. Dana Jeffrey-Plude is a deputy director in the Division of Behavioral and Social Research with the National Institute of Aging. Thank you for joining us. Is there an age where we just naturally start to forget things, doctor?
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me. Yes, there's we begin to start having memory decline even as early as age 30, but it depends on the area of memory you're talking about. If it's a sort of a general knowledge about the world, then that seems to be retained later. But if we're looking at how quickly you remember something, people in their 30s start showing slowness compared to younger people.
Oh, geez. I was talking to John Williams. He's a fantastic talk show host here earlier, and he was saying he always plays a game with his wife where he's like, oh, what's that person's name again? And it could be a celebrity's name. And he's like, you know, he was in this movie and that movie. And you can remember everything they're in. You just can't pull that name out of your brain. What causes that?
Yeah, we don't really know what causes it. It's called sort of the tip of the tongue phenomenon. It's like you have the word right at the tip of your tongue, but you just can't get to it. But you can remember a lot of the features. You might even remember how long the word is, but you just can't retrieve it. And part of the time, the issue is that the more you try to remember it, the more anxious you are that you can't remember it. And we know that anxiety gets in the way of memory. So if you can try to relax, sometimes if you just get your mind away from it for a minute or two, the answer will suddenly pop into your mind. We don't know why, but that's the way it happens.
And it seems to happen to all of us. I'm just surprised that it starts happening at the age of 30. So I was with my dear friend last night. We met on the first day, first class of high school. We've been friends forever. And she will remember things from our hometown because she still lives in that hometown, where I've lived in five or six cities and probably met, you know, at least a couple thousand more people than she has. Is there only so much room in our brain that I automatically just kick some things out to make room for new information? Is there anything to that?
There is. I mean, there's an efficiency to it, right? We can only hold so much information. It's surprising, though, how much information we actually can retain, but we don't actually, we're not able to access it. So there's some research that shows even after 50 years, people who took a class in Spanish language, for example, and they're not Spanish speaking, but they took intro Spanish, 50 years later do better on a test of Spanish than people who never took the class, even though those people feel they haven't used Spanish, they don't speak it, and they don't remember it, but there they are performing better. So there are some things that you may still remember about that hometown, but you're just not able to access it because you have these other memories that kind of overlay it.
This is Dr. Plude with the National Institute of Aging. We're talking about forgetfulness. Why is it we can remember traumatic events and specific details or something bad that happened?
Yeah, there's an emotional component of memory for sure, right? I mean, I think all of us have the phenomenon of like walking into someone's house and smelling an aroma, maybe cookies baking or something like that, and it'll bring back a vivid memory. It doesn't have to be traumatic. It can be a pleasant memory also. But I think it's that emotional valence, the significance of that emotion that helps to bring that memory into great relief against a background. Like, there's often a question about, do you remember where you were when some significant event happened, like the Challenger disaster, or if you're old enough, the assassination of the president? And, you know, those memories tend to stick with you probably because, again, there's an emotional component to it that helps tag it in a way. And I think there's another kind of memory that we all have, too, which is related to music. You may not have heard a song for years and years, yet it comes on the radio and you suddenly find yourself remembering the lyrics, right? Because there's something about embedding those memories in this context of other things, whether it's music, emotion, whatever it might be. So sometimes those cues can help us remember, right? If we can't remember a specific thing, we can try to remember how we were feeling or what music might have been playing or something like that. They can help bring back the memory. And you've probably had that happen with your friend where she said, don't you remember X, Y, and Z? And you say no, and then she gives you a couple of more cues, and suddenly you say, ah, yes, I remember.
So, wasn't there somewhere I read that like the music when you were 17 or 17 to 19 or something around there is the most powerful music in your life, and that's the music that stays with you the most or the strongest? Have you ever heard anything like that?
You can make a case for that, and I think, again, it probably has to do with the emotion of the time and probably how some of what you were going through as you were developing in that period and the significance that some of that eye-opening music might have had for you. So, yes, it makes sense that that would happen, but I think it's, again, related to that emotional component that's probably attached to those memories.
Dr. Plude is with the National Institute of Aging. They came out with a list of 10 common behaviors that are making us more forgetful. So can I read these off and you can say a word or two about them? Not getting enough sleep. Does that bring on forgetfulness?
Absolutely, yes.
Multitasking?
Multitasking is a challenge because, again, we are limited in our human ability to keep track of things. And so the more things we're trying to track, the more likely it is something's going to fall through those cracks and we will forget about it.
Not exercising or moving your body?
Yeah, I don't know that it's exercise specifically, but engaging in some kind of physical activity, even something as simple as walking, can certainly help improve your memory function. And probably it's because of the effect of having a good oxygen flow to your brain.
What about Wordle? Do you play Wordle, Doctor?
Well, Wordle. Sure, who doesn't? But I think, yes, I would put Wordle into a general class of kind of mental exercises, right? It gets you thinking and problem solving and kind of engaging yourself in an activity that requires your thinking and your memory. So it's like any muscle, sort of. You exercise it, and that can help keep it strong.
Okay, among the 10 common behaviors that are making us more forgetful, according to this article, drinking alcohol and smoking?
No doubt about it. Again, going back to the oxygen flow to the brain, you know, the smoking would definitely have an impact on your cardiovascular system, which delivers blood to the brain. And then drinking, I mean, there's a lot of research showing, especially if you are a chronic alcoholic, you run the risk of damaging your brain in certain ways that will certainly impair memory. Now, if the question is, what about socially, occasionally having a drink, you know, on the weekends and whatever, there's no evidence to suggest that that has any impact on memory. It's a matter of the magnitude, how much you're drinking, and for how long a period of time.
What about being disorganized? Does that lead to it?
Well, disorganized makes challenges for memory, right? Because then it makes it harder to find what it is you're looking for. It's kind of like the analogy of you know.
Oh, no. Did we lose him? Come on back to us, Doctor. Come on back to us. We're just getting to the good stuff.
Oh, by the way, Wordle in three today.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. I should have had it in three, and it ended up taking me four. It makes me crazy when I have three letters, and I can't figure it out. I got a Wordle in two last week. That was enough to
nice
jump
you.
Up and down about.
Honestly, I don't care. I just want to get it.
Doctor, I'm so glad we didn't lose you. So being disorganized, obviously, that can just bring on a whole nother issue all in itself, right?
Yeah, right. I was trying to make the analogy about having a messy bookshelf and trying to find a particular book. If you have it alphabetized, it's so much easier than if it's all a mess and you have to go searching for it. Yes.
We only have 30 seconds left. So when do you see a doctor for memory issues if you really believe you're very forgetful?
Right. The time to do that is if it starts interfering with your activities of daily life. Everybody forgets something, right? We've all stepped out, forgotten our umbrella, have to go back in and get it. But if it starts interfering with your ability to carry on conversations with people, to remember loved ones, to lose your way from, you know, when you're driving in a familiar area or walking, then that's the time to consult a professional.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's something that hits all of us.
Absolutely does. Thanks for having me.
Steve has your news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.